Hey, welcome back to On the Porch. Thanks for joining us. I'm Todd and joined again, as always, by my friend Ken. And this week on the porch, we're going to discuss the why the three-body problem is unsolvable. I'm going to go through and tell why it's unsolvable. And then Ken's going to go through some equations he's worked out through this week on a pathway that he thinks he can solve the three-body problem. So let's dive into it, Ken.
All right. Well, the first equation, dude, I don't even know what you said, man. Where do you come up with these at? Where do you come up with these, Todd?
It's just stuff I hear throughout the week, just different stuff I listen to. So
That stuff, you talking about it at the post office?
Podcasts and YouTube videos I listen to. The three-body problem has to deal with space travel and how if you had two bodies in space, you can figure out where they're going to be at a certain time. But when you add the third one in there, it makes it a lot harder to figure out, you know, where all three would be. And dude, I'll
remember that next time I go in space.
Yeah. I listen to some weird YouTube stuff at work. I listen to just like math YouTube channels just on stuff, you know, just to hear it. You know,
well, yeah,
and okay. Some of it I find absolutely fascinating, but it's just stuff I pick up through during the week if I listen to something. And
see that's what you know what? I started listening to podcasts, man. See, you're listening to math equations. That's the reason you're the brains of this operation here. You're listening to a math equation podcast of some sort. I just started listening to Halloween podcasts. You're around Halloween podcast.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah.
Called what is it? Halloween by candlelight, I think is what it is.
Well, I have a feeling for most people, math is more scary than Halloween. So
it is, dude. I tell you. It is. Math is when I was in college. I was real good in chemistry, believe it or not. They tried to get me to be a chemistry teacher, or try to get me to major in chemistry. And I was biology major. And, you know, I just had so much math in chemistry. You know, I learned just enough to get by, but that was it. You know, if there was going to be any more exploring or anything with chemistry, I only knew very basic math just to get by.
Yeah. See, chemistry, I did fine, and it was okay, but it was all the spelling of the words that that sunk me in chemistry. The math part I got, so yeah. But hey, we got Arnie and Doug watching us as they're preparing dinner and streaming us on their big TV in the background. Okay. So yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Doug, what do you think about my beard, buddy? I trimmed my beard. I got my summer beard cut going.
Yeah. We got to get ready for all that sweltering heat coming our way. So Chris has hopped in here. Hello, Chris. How's New York treating you? So,
Doug, what are y'all having for supper, man? I know it's something good.
Yeah, it's going to be something good. Something real, real awesome. And he won't share the recipe, I'm sure.
Dude, talking about food, man, I cooked another ham today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. What do you say? Grilled chicken in bed. How you say that? I'm not going to say it because I always mispronounce it. Quinoa?
Is that quinoa?
Quinoa. There you go. Quinoa. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, I cooked another ham today, man. Hey. Honey and maple glaze.
Hey, Dan, thanks for hopping in here, bub. Oh, maple glaze? What'd you say, honey and maple glaze?
Yeah, honey and maple glaze, smoked it in cherry wood. Yeah, it was good, but I cooked the temperature a little bit too high, and the rub that I put on the outside of the ham had sugar in it. So, you know, of course, whenever you cook sugar at too high a temperature, it turns dark.
Yeah.
And it wasn't burned, but I cooked it too high.
Wow. That sounds about right for me. I like it when it's black, but not burnt. Is that what they call blackened? you know.
Yeah, and just but it wasn't my best effort because I put it on and thought the smoker was running the right temperature, and I went outside and looked back at it in about 2 hours. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's about 30 degrees higher than it should be.
Oh, mercy.
And that was just enough to kind of overdo it just a little bit, you know?
Yeah. We didn't have any big food ordeals this weekend. I've been off. I was off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and today, Sunday. And first thing I did, of course, I've been reorganizing and cleaning our garage. That's been an ongoing project and still is. But it was kind of rainy on Thursday. But Friday, I woke up bright and early, and the first thing I did was grab the chainsaw to take care of, I guess technically three trees in the backyard, but one of the trees was like five maple trees that had started growing together. So I had like five different trunks on it. Mm-hmm. And that's made a full weekend of work, you know? So,
yeah.
Because I laid them down but they were, my mom and dad only live a few blocks from me, and they have about 5 acres and a big burn pit. And I learned my lesson pretty quick. When I cut a tree, instead of just cutting it up and making 1,000 trips over in my truck, I'll just hook a chain up to it.
Don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I just hook a chain up to the whole tree as it's laid over and drag it over to mom and dad's in one whole piece. And then I cut it.
You drag a big tree down the road?
Yes, I do.
Dude, next time you do that, man, video that or something. I got to see that.
Yeah. And it was a little bit too wet on Friday for me to get my truck. I tried, but I was kind of rutting it. It was fine to drive the truck in the grass, but as soon as you started like needing to put a little effort to pull a tree, it's starting mm-hmm. to rut up a little bit. So I gave up before I just made a drag race strip down the middle of the yard there. So, Saturday after lunch, I ended up pulling them out, and instead of using my truck, my dad wanted to use his tractor. He's got a little John Deere tractor, which ended up working out better because then we could use the PTO in the back to lift up the trunk off the ground to drag it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. plus two, so way they were like kind of laying, it was kind of hard to get them, you know, wrapped up. And so we were able to use the front end loader on that tractor to push them in a good spot to back up to them. So,
okay. Yeah.
So it wasn't my truck this time. I dragging them down the street. I've done that before in the truck, but it was a tractor still fun though.
Yeah. Hey, did they have any lookers for the eclipse in their yard?
No, they didn't. Just them and my sister.
Man, I should have came out there, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had so many people come for the eclipse into the area, but it was funny. It was like, I guess because they were unfamiliar with the town, there were lots mm-hmm. of like prime spots to see the eclipse just were completely wide open. And I guess because, you know, you're new in town, so all you know is, you know, the general area with all the popular spots, you know, so like the practice soccer field, you know, just north of the university, you wouldn't think about going there. And it was wide open for people to look at, you know, so.
Were people lined up down by the river?
Yeah. In fact, they had to turn people away. That it got so full down there that they had to turn people away so they couldn't come down anymore. And so I'm not sure how many were down there, but it was a lot. I've never heard of them having, you know, turning people away like that before.
Yeah.
So.
And that area is so cool. Cape Girardeau, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's a river town, and the river's right, Mississippi River's right there at the old historic district part of it. It's so cool. All those antique malls and stuff down there.
Yeah. A lot of those buildings are right at 200, over 200 years old, old shop, you know. You can tell old stores, and there's a bunch of old houses down there about the same age and stuff too. And it is a cool, cool place. I really like it. It's getting revitalized and, you know, getting, you know, preserved and stuff. And it's, it's becoming super nice. It's always so cool because I just love old buildings anyway, like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. The old brick and things. But
that's the way it is here at Cookeville. That's the closest town to where I mm-hmm. live. It's about an hour away. They have a historic district where the old train depot is there, but they mm-hmm. have an ice cream. It used to be a factory, but now they just have the front part of it where they sell the ice cream mm-hmm. and cool pizza. I mean, just see what else they got called World Foods, which they have sandwiches and pizza, but it's just a cool area down there, man. There's a lot of shops and things and good places to eat. It's just the old buildings. There's just a feel about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like going walking around and going through the shops. And
things. Yeah. 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 I guess every area has like old things, you know, our country's not very old as far as countries go.
Right.
And, you know, but I remember when my sister-in-law and brother-in-law came out here to visit from Southern California, and we went to the antique stores, and they were just like blown away because it's like, you know, we had really old stuff at their antique stores and mm-hmm. they weren't quite used to that. I don't know if, you know, there's just so many people there that all the cool old stuff gets snatched up so fast, or they put a mm-hmm. you know, higher value on it or what, but it is neat to see. And every once in a while we'll watch these YouTube channels of people going yard selling and stuff, and people walk right by things and we're like, oh, they should stop and look at that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But yeah, but it does kind of spoil you a little bit to be around it, you know, so much. But try not to let it get too familiar, you know.
But didn't you you sent me some pictures of some finds, some yard sale finds or antique mall finds or something?
Yeah, yards. Yeah, since I was off, I did get some yard selling in. We did go to two estate sales. One of them was like super high price. They had these cool toy soldier blow molds. They had like five or six of them, but they wanted $60 a piece for them.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
That was too high. I was like expecting them to be like $40 top, you know, and I, mm-hmm. it was too far out of the way to go back any other day, you know, to buy them, you know, cause they discount them. And the other one was real reasonable, probably a little too reasonable. They were, you know, they were just trying to get stuff away. But yeah, we had a great yard selling finds. Found some stuff for our granddaughter, like a jumper. Holly been looking for a jumper, and found one like looked practically brand new for $25, and he took 20 for it. And she's like, I hadn't been able to find one this clean for like less than 40. Mm-hmm. And then I found some cool tins, an old Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookie tin. It's an old one. It's white inside, so it's like porcelain mm-hmm. lined, or like the signs. And so it's pretty old. I'm not sure exactly how old. I need to look. I mean, it's not like, it's probably 70s or so. And then I found a peanut M&M Christmas tin from 1994. And I know it's 1994 because it's the dates on the tin.
Yeah,
sure. And it's cool. Cool looking. And Holly found a uranium glass ice bucket with like a flower design. Mm-hmm. And I think those go for like $70 or $80. And the people had like $7 or $8 on it.
Mm.
I guess they just didn't know what they had.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
Man, I still got the coffee pot. It was like aluminum coffee pot, but mm-hmm. it had a uranium glass. The top, you know, where it's a percolator, uh-huh. you know, where it perks up, and it's uranium glass. So the thing, I don't know how old it is, probably from the 40s, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how old that stuff is. So it made it that whole time. And this was about 2 weeks ago. And I went to pick it up and move it. And the uranium, I don't know what you call that. The thing came off, mm-hmm. fell on the floor and broke, dude.
Oh no.
And I'm like, I know. And so uh-huh. I was so up mad at that. Because I didn't take care to make sure it was on there good and tight. I just picked it up and moved it, and it fell off and just broke right in half.
Oh, my
goodness. It made me sick, dude.
Yeah.
Because it's like that thing made it 60 years or however long it made it.
Yeah.
Here comes old fumble fingers.
Yeah. I hear you, man. I've done stuff like that too. And it's like, geez, man, why'd I do that for in things? But yeah. And then I think I end up having the find of the day because I saw this laptop bag at a yard sale, and the Bearded Thrift Machine is a YouTube channel I've talked about on here before. And I remember them talking about, if when you see a bag, to look at the zippers to see if it's a good bag. And it looked like a nice bag. It said Ted Baker on it, London. I didn't know Ted Baker was a good brand name at the time. I had no idea. And so when I opened it up, the zipper on the outside was real nice and heavy, and it had like this leather tassel on it, like zipper pull. And when I opened it up, the zippers on the inside were just as nice with the little leather tassel pull on them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they're not putting pulls on the zippers inside if this isn't a nice bag, and they wanted $2 for it. So I'm like, well, it's going to be worth $2. So I went and paid the lady and got it home and looked it up. It had a QR code inside from a company called CertiEye, to where you download the app and you scan that QR code. You designate it authentic, which it did. Mm-hmm. And that bag I bought retails for like $240.
My goodness.
And it looks brand new. I don't even know if they put anything in the bag. It looks like they just bought it, took it home, took the tags off and put it in the closet.
And you gave $2 for it.
I gave $2 for it. So
what a find, buddy.
Yeah. We're going to give it to my niece. She graduates college next month. And then she's going to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, to the university there, to do her doctorate in chemistry, which is what we was talking about. Yeah. So
what school's in Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
Is it Southern Miss?
Is that where Southern Miss is?
I think so. I think so. But I'll have to look. I've asked 1,000 times and they've told me 1,000 times. I just can't remember, you know? But it was fun. I don't get to do much yard selling and that stuff because of my job, but it was fun. It was fun to go and do a little bit and see things.
Buddy, when you come out here for the 127 yard sale, you can do that till you just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff to look at. And
I can't wait to do it. So, yeah,
if you look at everything,
University of Southern Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know in football, they always upset somebody every year or every few years.
Yeah.
They'll upset some big college or something.
So, it was a good weekend. And before we went live and start recording, I told Ken, I was like, I'm ready to get back to work tomorrow so I can get some rest, because I was either working on tree stuff or I was in the garage getting it organized. And about 5 o'clock this afternoon, I was out in the garage and I was sorting screwdriver bits. And I was like, I think I'm done. I think I'm done for the weekend, you know?
Yeah. Did you get them all organized like Doug and Arnie have their Christmas stuff?
No, but I'm working on it. I bought a QR code
on there.
Yeah. I bought from a guy on my route. He was those things you hang on the wall with all the little plastic drawers that you put all your little bits and bobs in.
Yeah, the little bins.
Yeah. And drawers. He had 3 of those for sale at his yard sale, and they were just full of, you know, washers and different screws and bolts and nuts and cable ties and drywall, just all kinds of things. And so I asked what he wanted for him. He's like, $5 a piece. I'm like, they are worth $5 a piece because there's so much good junk in them that you always need. And a few of them were empty. Well, I got all kinds of like screwdriver bits and stuff all over the place. So I came down the basement and asked Holly for a label maker. So I was making labels that say, you know, PH2 bits, you know, for my Phillips number twos and PH1s for my Phillips number ones and, you know, T20s for my Torx and T25. So I'm labeling them out and putting them in drawers as far as their size and what they are and things. So, but it's a little tedious, but it is fun. So,
man, my father-in-law, he was estimator for this big plumbing company.
Yep,
when we was in Nashville, and he was old school, dude. He had shelves in his garage that were only like, I don't know, 4 inches each shelf was. Uh-huh. But he had all his screws, washers, had everything separated in the different size screws, different size nails. But he put them in baby food jars.
Yeah.
Or if they wouldn't fit in there, he would put them in a little larger jar.
Yeah.
But so many jars, man. I mean, one whole wall was full of jars so you could see what was in there. And it was really good. But it's like, man. He would spend hours down there organizing that stuff, separating it. You know?
My grandpa Burns did that too. In fact, he put them, he'd hang them on a Lazy Susan, the baby food jars. That way he could spin them and get the different ones. And I wish I would have kept some of that. And one thing I really wish I would have kept of his is he had this little drawer thing that he had made out of the old wooden Velveeta cheese boxes. And
I don't know about that.
Yeah, Velveeta cheese used to come in a wood box, and he had a bunch of them. And that he, you know how Velveeta cheese, you pull the cardboard lid off like that? Well, I guess it was used to be a wood box that you pulled off. Yeah. So he just turned it upside down. Yeah, he just turned it upside down, put a little knob on the front, and then made this frame for all these little Velveeta lids to go in for drawers. And so you pull it out, and you'd see this like, rubbed out Velveeta cheese logo on there. I wish, you know, he passed away in 93. And if I had time travel machine, one thing I would have done is go back and snatch that thing, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't change the world. I'd go back and snatch the old Velveeta cheese boxes. Oh, yeah.
Man, you know, it's changing the subject, but, This past weekend. Yesterday. Dude, I went to a strawberry festival. You know, the weekend before we went to the banana pudding festival.
Yeah.
And this weekend we went to a strawberry festival. And this is the second strawberry festival I've been to. That they had one table when you first walked in where they were selling strawberries. And we just happened to walk in when they put them out. And in like 10 minutes they were gone. Oh, dude, that's the only... I was so disappointed because that was the, I mean, we got some. They were locally grown strawberries. But other than that, it was just like a festival. You couldn't tell there was any other
reason to be there,
Now that there was nothing else that had to do with strawberries. I'm like, okay, this is false advertisement. This is a dang festival that you're just calling a strawberry festival. Yeah. You know, why not call it a, you know, hardwood festival or something? You know, it's just, you know, so they had those, but that was it. Now, they did have, you remember the week, last weekend, went to the banana pudding festival where they had the funnel cakes with the banana pudding in the middle.
Yeah.
This was funnel cakes with some kind of strawberry gelatin stuff, but they were just scooping it out of a big can and putting it in the middle. So
they weren't even trying.
Nope. I'm passing on that.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing I did see, I saw a lady. Now, this is up here, man, you know, the Appalachian. We're in the, you know, foothills of the Smokies. It's just, but anyways, it's a little different up here. There was two ladies walking around. One of them had a monkey in a buggy, like you push kids in.
Yeah.
And the other one, it was just riding. It was just walking around up on her shoulder. These little monkeys. And I mean, they were just looking at it. It was crazy. And then another lady was walking around. She had a dog in one hand.
Right.
And on the leash, she had a dang goat, man. It had big horns.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm talking in a crowd of people. You know, there's a lot of people there. And she was walking around with this goat just like it was a dog.
Yeah.
Okay. Only in Tennessee, man, you're going to see something like that. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're in the fall, north of here, not quite to St. Louis, almost. There's a town called Kimswick, and they have an apple butter festival up there in the fall. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought about going, but there's so many people that go, and that town's so small. I just don't know if I want, you know, I don't know if I want to brave all the people for it, you know.
Right.
And I don't want it to be like the apple butter festival, and then like there's no apple butter. That'd be disappointing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, well, that's the way this was. But you know, that's the second one in Portland, Tennessee. There's a, they have a strawberry festival, and that's supposed to be the strawberry capital of Tennessee. Uh-huh. They grow, it's a higher elevation, and they grow a lot of strawberries there.
Yeah,
we went there, and they even had a parade there. It was great, the parade.
Yeah,
but they didn't, dude. I'm not kidding you not. There was not one strawberry there that you could buy. And I'm like, come on, man. You know, at least get them from California or someplace and put them out.
So at least get them little kind of festive, little hard candies that are wrapped in strawberry paper. Yeah.
Something. I mean, it was great, man. The parade was great. You know, people dressed up as strawberries.
Yeah.
And, you know, strawberry themed floats and all the good stuff that you expect to see in a parade.
Yeah. I went to I went to a raspberry festival one time, but all they did was blow on my belly.
Do what now? Oh gosh, man. Oh my goodness. Do you have to pay somebody to do that, or is that free?
No, it's illegal to pay for that. So
So that's what I did this past weekend. Did that. I was trying to think if we did what else we did. Other than building the retaining wall, man, I'm finally through with that. Jeez. Man, that is a lot harder than I remember it being.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah. Because up here is like the top 6 inches of the ground is really good soil.
Yeah.
You get below that, and it's just like red clay.
Uh-huh.
And digging in that, man, it's like, okay, the guys that do this every day, they have some type of a machine or something.
Yeah.
They don't have a pick and a shovel. Like
you
I'm
get
doing.
One of those, what they call ditch witches, with the big like chainsaw thing on the back that digs a big trench.
That's what I needed, man. Going up the hill, you know. But I'm done now, so it's a one and done. Won't have to do it again.
Yeah,
it was just enough work to where I didn't really want to hire somebody.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm like, well, I need the exercise too. I'll get out there and do it. And after about 6 hours, I'm like, okay, I wonder what this would have cost me if I would have hired somebody to do this.
Yeah, you'd be like, I hire somebody now, but I have to pay them to fix everything I just did. Between you and me, you had it the hardest. I hate tree work, but I think I hate digging stuff more. So I could never be like a arborist or whatever you call the tree cutting guys. You know,
Man, my wife, we went to this nursery. It's down the mountain in Pall Mall down there. It's called Pall Mall.
Uh-huh.
It is an accomplishment. Yeah,
it is a very good accomplishment.
It is, man. It looks good, too. It goes up the driveway, up the hill, and it turns on the top of the hill. It looks really good, man. It looks really good. Now I got to grade the back side of it. We got to get grass growing in there. It's kind of a problem area because it's in the shade. So there's a creeping red fescue that people use up here.
Mm-hmm.
It grows pretty good in the shade. I've seen places where it was shady and it grows pretty good. So I got to get some of that and got to grade that out. And I was telling you about going down to the Wolf River Nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's got to be one of the prettiest places, one of the prettiest nurseries ever. If y'all come up here, I don't know if you'll have time or you would even want to go down there. It's about 15 minutes away. It's down the mountain and it's in a valley. And I like to go down there just to look around. But anyways, Mary planted 120 impatiens in the back of our house. The walkway that leads down to the lake, to the dock, they're on both sides of going down through there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she planted those Saturday. We went to the fest. She planted those Friday. And of course, the temperatures are dropping down tonight. So we were out there covering them up with sheets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. if they're going to make it or not, hopefully, because some of them, we didn't have enough sheets for everything. So I'm hoping there's always a breeze up here. So I'm hoping that will keep the frost from settling on the plants, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it should. Yeah. Doug and Arnie's with me. They don't dig either. And they hired out 4 posts. They needed 4 posts dug for their patio covering, and they hired it out to dig the holes. I don't blame you. So,
I don't know. Four holes, man. Well, I guess I don't have anything else to do.
Yeah. But
4 holes are not too bad.
Give you a good reason to rent an auger or something.
Yeah. What does something like that cost in California?
Yeah.
Doug, Arnie, what does that cost? Around here, it's not the cost. It'd be cheap around here, but you just couldn't get anybody to show up. It's hard to, people say they want to work, but then,
Oh, well around here, you could get it done for cheap, but then you'd be just giving money to the local meth head. You know, then if you hired someone to do it professionally, then you'd be paying for it.
Yeah.
You know,
and like I told you, man, up here, we had some tree work done. You know, we live on the side of the hill, so trees behind the house, we told them, so look, we don't want any machinery down there because I just don't want it tore up and then starting where the water runs down, you know. Uh-huh. So they're like, sure, man, we'll just hook up to a winch and cut them down and pull them up the hill. So it all worked out good, but the guy had trouble getting help, and so he was like, he was calling people and rounding them up kind of. He'd say, now these guys work. So they don't look the best. But you don't have to talk to them, and they'll work. But so I don't know where he was talking about meth heads. Some of them are just kind of questionable.
Yeah,
but he was right, man. They did work. Dude.
Oh yeah,
worked like crazy.
Yeah, I remember. I bought the lot behind us. Our neighbor, his property used to make an L shape, and part of that L went right behind our house. Arnie and Doug said they were 3 feet deep and 2 feet wide. Cost us $200 for that. That is money very well spent.
Yeah,
four holes that big. That's not bad price at all.
Yeah,
I'd pay $200 for that. So.
I thought you was talking about like just post hole diggers.
Yeah. Oh, I hate those things. You put them and you get like this much dirt. You get like a little teeny top. Tiny piece of dirt out. It's like, geez. Yeah. But his property used to make this L shape that went behind our house, and he had this old metal shed on there from like Sears, you know, that you just put together with bolts and stuff. And it was from the 70s, and because it was there when he bought the house, you know, like the roof was part caved in and all this and that. And because of where it sits, everybody always thought it was our shed. In fact, when we bought the house, the insurance guy was like, you're going to have to take that shed down. And I'm like, I can't. And he's like, well, we can't insure you. And I was like, it's not on my property. You know. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, and so I was out mowing one day and some guy in this like ratty, you know, van that used to be like some garage band or something van in the 70s come up and he's like, hey man, do you want that shed back there? Just out of the blue.
Yeah.
And we had just bought that property from him, and I told our neighbor Whitney, I was like, man, I'll take that shed down. You know, I'm full of that shed, you know. And you know, he was good with that. And I said, you haul it away, you can have it. I don't want nothing for it. And he's like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And so he's like, I'll be right back. And about 20 minutes later, he showed up with like this trailer hooked to like this golf cart looking thing and two of his friends. And they spent about, I don't know, an hour doing stuff out there to it. And then they rolled it up on this trailer and drove off and never seen them again.
Really?
You know? So.
Yeah.
But 12 foot metal poles. Concrete.
On the ground. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That thing ain't going to go away.
Yeah.
Survive a hurricane and a tornado and maybe an earthquake. I guess they don't get many tornadoes out there.
So. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And the tornado's here. they're not so bad up here on the plateau because it's got to come up the mountain. And so it's like, it kind of breaks them up into just really bad storms. But you know, they'll have a tornado every now and then, but it's not like, but dude, when we lived in Nashville, that's turned into, they actually added Nashville to Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
And there's a strip through there. And gosh, I was in a tornado when I was a kid, and that was the last one until probably 15 years ago. And it seems like there was two or three come real close to my house in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And there was one came by about a quarter mile from the house, and dude, it tore up everything. I mean, just leveled everything. And I heard that one. That one sounded, that's the one that I think I may have told you. People always say it sounds like a freight train, but you know, I worked for an airlines for, you know, 35 years total. And it sounded like, it didn't sound like a freight train, dude. It sounded to me, it sounded like a commercial airplane taking off.
Oh, wow.
When you're out there on the tarmac with it. And, it was just a rumble and just loud, dude.
Yeah.
It didn't really sound like a freight train. Maybe I was too close to it and didn't hear that or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Here a few weeks ago, we had a storm blow in and the wind really picked up really strong. And it was starting to sound like a train-ish because it was blowing so hard. So I had all the kids and everybody go down to the basement. Of course, I stood out in the garage to watch it. You know,
of course you did.
This is what we do in the South. We go outside to watch the thunderstorms. Right. You know, and then it didn't last very long and didn't do very much. But it was just so high, you know. But that's been our only scare so far. You know, my town's been hit by one before, but it's been so long ago, and some neighbor towns have been hit by them pretty good. It's like it's just kind of waiting your turn. Kind of thing around here.
Thing I have to worry about is all the trees around here.
Yeah.
You know, falling on the house.
Well,
trees.
Well, somebody in their infinite wisdom in my hometown, let them put it's called North American timber tie. They take wood, railroad ties and treat them with whatever they treat them with to make them, you know, weather resistant right in the middle of town. So you go through the middle of town, there's hundreds of stacks of railroad ties, some waiting to be treated, some already treated, you know, but they're stacked up, I don't know, 20 ties high. And there's probably hundreds of stacks. So it's like, we get a tornado through here, it's going to be like a shotgun went off. It ain't going to be the tornado that knocks everything over. Yeah. It's going to be all the random railroad ties everywhere.
Oh, is that the ones down there by the train track?
By the train track
on the right.
Yeah. It's like
you aren't kidding, man. That'd be like
like double up buck going off all over the place with those things.
That'd wipe out your town right there.
Yeah, it's like
of them.
There is, and they're gonna wreck houses miles away. You know.
Yeah. Sure.
And it's like, what are you guys thinking? You know, it's put that out on the east side of town. That way the storm's already blowed through by the time it hits them, you know? So, it's crazy. Like I said, it's been a while since my town's been really hit by one. And we always have a town. There's a town out west called Delta, Missouri. And anytime there's a like tornado warning or watch around, you always hear someone say, there's a tornado in Delta. That poor little town's been destroyed by a tornado every time we get a thunderstorm because it's just the rumor that starts up. In fact, just the other day we had some storms pop up and Holly's like, Mia, which is our oldest daughter, she's like, Mia called me. She said there was a tornado in Delta. And I said, there's a tornado in Delta every time it rains. There's a tornado in Delta. You know, it's like. Yeah.
That was kind of like the joke in Nashville, you know, because most of the weather from Nashville comes from the west. And when people always say, it's snowing in Memphis, meaning it's coming this way, you know, that way towards Nashville.
Yeah.
Heard that since I was a kid. It's snowing in Memphis.
Yeah. Well, Delta's like 16 miles away. It's not that far, but it's just like, there's always a tornado in Delta, you know?
So yeah, sure.
Probably one there now, even though there's nothing going on, you know?
So, yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, it's funny how those, things pop up where it's like the town's, I guess, like saying or whatever, you know, that it's just always, this is always going on or that. It's just funny.
Well, buddy, I got to ask you this, man.
Yeah.
And I'm scared what the answer is going to be.
Uh-oh.
How about American Idol?
I was planning on being fully caught up. I am almost fully caught up. I got a couple episodes to go. And I'll be caught.
So where are you on there?
I'm ending Hollywood. I've ended Hollywood week. So I don't have.
So much you going saw on. Emmy make it to Hollywood?
Yep. Yeah.
Saw that.
Yeah.
So that's still, so they still got to go down to 24 and then 20.
Yeah.
Yep. And tonight they're going to, they already gone to 14.
I think they're at 14 now.
They're at 14 tonight. They're going to lose two more, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's still my pick to win it. I still haven't seen anybody else. I mean, there's some pretty good people. I'm going to say this, and it's not to diss anybody or make the accomplishment any less than what it is, because it's still big. But the past couple seasons, I think the field has been stronger overall from what I've seen. However, this one, even though there's not as many really great, you know, talent, I think the best ones of this group may be better than those overall, except for maybe like they're stronger writers. Yeah. This is the strongest writing group they've ever had, which is real. It's the word I'm looking for. It's real not dangerous. It's harder to be a good writer than it is to be a good singer.
There's more artists, it seems to be like.
Yeah, Even though there's not the big personalities or the big voices or the unique characters that make it really interesting to see who's going to win, because you just don't know. I think the talent of this group and the few people is a lot higher than the overall talents of the other group, even though there's not as many. If that's as clear as mud, hopefully it is. But
You know, I don't know. You seem to be more in tune with who'd win. You know about all that stuff. But the ones I like, I mean, there's some guys like that one. What's that big dude's name? The big guy.
Oh, the big guy that used to play football, like Chris Stapleton lookalike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's ready to go right now, man.
Yeah.
He's ready to go. And let's see, I'm not going to say anything else because you haven't watched them all yet.
See, there was one guy in the auditions that, not the guy you sung about, but another one that sounded a lot like Chris Stapleton when he sang. He was like a worship leader or something. I don't know if he's still in it or not. And the past three seasons, that voice would have won. I don't think that voice can win this season.
Yeah.
Like Chris Stapleton. It's just getting to be overdone, you know?
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Sure it is. And also that the girl, gosh, I should have wrote their names down. Is it Abby? The black-headed girl. Boy, she can sing, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
She sounds like she should be singing a Disney, you know, Alice in Wonderland some sort of a Disney. Maybe she should be singing in that. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Like Little Mermaid or something, you know?
I don't know if she's still in it or not, but the girl from Mississippi with the real unique voice.
Yeah.
I want her to sing that one song, Brand New Key, that I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. Remember that song? I want her to sing that. I think she knocked that out of the park. Yeah. And then everybody would be singing that for a week. Voice. Yeah.
If she can get with the right person,
yeah,
and sing the right kind of music. I mean, she could have one of those underground followings where she can make a living at it. You know,
she could definitely make
a living.
Yeah, there's always a great market for a good singer songwriter type. You know, she
has such a unique voice, and I say this, and it doesn't sound. It sounds bad, but man, the voices that I like, and maybe it's because it's just what I'm used to, but like they're from the South. Mm-hmm. Like she's from Mississippi, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's from Mississippi. That big dude's from, where's he from? There's another one of them that's from Georgia.
Yeah.
I forget which one it is. Mm-hmm. But you can tell that accent comes out in there. Oh, there's another black-headed girl, and she sings country music. She sang a Loretta Lynn song. Have you seen her sing that one yet?
No, I haven't.
She killed it, dude.
Oh, and nice.
That Southern accent come out in her voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not something you can fake.
No, it's nothing you can fake. Yeah. Yeah, you can't fake it at all. But, yeah, it's probably just what you're used to. I never mapped out, like, the Idol winners as far as, like, where they're from. You know, if there's mm-hmm. any correlation, but country always does pretty well on American Idol.
Well, the past two winners, I mean, think about it. Who was it? Colin Stowe last year?
It was Ian Tungey won last year.
Oh yeah.
Well, Colin finished high. And then it was, that Noah kid the year before.
Yeah. The year before.
And then it was Chase Beckham the year before that, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, but country always does well and always has done well, you know, on American Idol. Even though the first few American Idol winners weren't country, they always had a good showing, you know.
Mm. Well, country's come on strong since American Idol first started.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't as popular then as it is now, like mainstream country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got bro country to thank for that.
Bro country, gosh. Man. I mean, being from Nashville and, you know, it's just so overdone, dude. Gosh. And I don't know. I'm still pedal steel, guitar, and fiddle.
Well, bro country's dead since Florida Georgia Line broke up. So,
yeah.
It's kind of done. Yeah, you got more people doing more classical country stuff. So,
yeah.
But,
yep.
Yeah. You know, he had the 90s country, and then you had this big black hole of country music. Somehow it still got popular and started to come back. So,
man, what was that guy's name? What was it? Oh, shoot. Take his job and shove it. What was his name?
Oh, Johnny Paycheck.
Johnny Paycheck.
Yeah.
Dude, that's one of the most underrated country music guys ever. He had some great music, and that song right there, I can't stand that song. I guess I just heard it so much.
Yeah.
I don't even like that song.
It's an unusual song when you listen to it, because it sounds nothing like the chorus, because it's got that like weird little bass line during the verse. And that's all. It's kind of goofy, but.
But you know, he was a big partier. You know, you can tell by looking at him, he was rode hard and put up wit. But you know, my son told me that Loretta told him during one of her shows. I mean, one of her shows, Johnny Paycheck. I don't know if he opened for her or he was there or what. But anyways, he fell through the ceiling of the stage, dude. He was up there messing around. He fell. He was drunk and he fell right out of the roof, man, right on the stage during her show.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Oh my gosh.
But you know, anyway, he's very underrated, man.
Oh,
he does have some really good, if you like traditional, like Merle Haggard, Hank mm-hmm. Williams, that guy, he has some really good stuff. You just got to dig in there and find it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I play when in the mornings at work, somehow I became the de facto play the music guy. And so I just play all kinds of stuff you know, just whatever I feel like. I always give it a, like a theme, and I'll do some. One song that always gets a real big reaction from everybody that everybody loves and sings along is David Allan Coe, You Don't Even Call Me By My Name.
Yeah.
And it's just everybody just loves that song and sings along. And
Yeah. Because you can sing along with that with any voice. You don't have to be a singer to go along with that.
Yeah. So, and then I played another David Allan Coe song, and then I had turned it off real quick because he dropped the N word in it, and I was like, I didn't know that was in there.
Oh yeah,
Nah. Well, that's from a different time, you know. Yeah. So,
dude, I don't go for anything like that.
I don't either. It was just like, geez, you know, it's like I didn't even realize it was in because I'm not familiar with it. I know at one time he was a pretty big popular artist, but I'm not familiar with all his songs and stuff. And, I wouldn't have played it if I'd known in there, but I don't think anybody else but me really heard it, but it just, I had to shut it down, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like,
absolutely.
Let's go over here and see what Eddie Rabbit's got going on. You know, so.
Eddie Rabbit. Oh my word. I ain't heard that name in forever. What was that song? Something about a windshield wiper or, rain on the windows.
Yeah.
Windshield wipers beating out of tempo.
I forgot that name of that song. Something about the rain. He was popular with the rain song. I remember that. But I don't know why I pulled Eddie Rabbit out of my hat for. But
what a name, dude. I'd have to change my name, man. I couldn't.
That's better than John Cougar. I love A Rainy Night. So.
I love A Rainy Night. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I always, when I was younger, I always get Eddie Rabbit and Eddie Money mixed up. Mm. You know?
Man, Eddie Money had a lot of hits.
Yeah, he did.
You know, I told you that my son, he was in that band for a while, that rock band that opened for Eddie Money. And they traveled around with him. And I got to go to one of their shows, and I was backstage, and he was out there singing the first one, and I can't even tell you the name of it, but he just kept on hit after hit after hit after hit. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten about all these, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had a lot. He died not long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever watch any of them videos live at Daryl's house with Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good.
I love watching those. I really like it for some reason. Just me, but I really like it when they bring on this popular newer artist and Daryl Hall sings with them, and you can tell that Daryl Hall is like singing them under the table.
Yeah.
You know, he's not trying to, he's humble about it, but it's like, man, sometimes he pulls some harmonies out. That's like, oh my gosh, man.
He can still sing.
Yeah. You still got it. But yeah. Those are always fun to watch.
What was the other guy? I used to see him around Nashville all the time. John Oates.
Yeah, John Oates. Yeah.
I seemed like we were on the same habits or something. I used to see him all the time.
Yeah.
Little short guy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was that short.
Seems like they're always smaller than you think they would be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but yeah, I guess him and Daryl Hall are not getting along very well anymore. So.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Yeah. Well, apparently, you know, these, companies are buying like all the, you know, rights to all these songs for like obscene amounts of money. Like some company bought all of Bob Dylan's songs from him for like $300 and something million.
And, oh, wow.
And then they hope, I guess, to get all their money back and make a profit off licensing to like TV commercials and shows and movies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, well, Hall & Oates, they own their music 50-50. They have a company, I forgot the name, together that owns them, but they're 50-50 on their songs.
Mm-hmm.
And Oates wants to cash in on this trend for all their songs because they got a gajillion hit songs that people love and recognize. Yeah. And I guess Daryl Hall is more of a purist and he doesn't want to sell his music to some big corporation to just, you know, peddle it around all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, And so they're in a lawsuit over it now because no one will want to buy Oates's half if and be half owners with Hall if right. Hall's not willing to, you know, because if some movie comes along like, hey, we'd love your song for the movie, and the company be like, yes, please, then Daryl Hall be like, nope. Well, then it doesn't go, you yeah. know. And so you don't want to work with someone that's not going to work with you. So that really diminishes the value of that collection, you know. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
So well, I didn't know what I knew there was something with them, but I didn't know for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's something, and you know, I was kind of wondering what was going on, so I ended up watching a few YouTube videos explaining the situation. You know. Because it's just like, man, you guys made so much good music and stuff together and things. It's like, what could possibly have come between you? But I get it, man. You know, you're looking at like a $300 million payday to sell your songs. I think I could give up my my conviction of being a pure artist and keeping my songs for splitting $300 million.
Yeah, yeah. Man, there's a... At Daryl's house, I forget the guy's name. He was a country singer. He sang, you know, Sarah Smile or Sarah. Is it Sarah Smile or?
I think Sarah Smile is the name of the song, I think. I can't remember the artist's name.
Yeah, but anyways, he was there and sang that. They just killed it.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great song. Mm-hmm. I know Teddy Swims. You heard Teddy Swims sing that song, Sarah Smile?
I don't think I have.
Let's see. I don't know if I can find it or not, man. Let's see. Who is it? Teddy Swims and let's see, what was the guy's name? It was Teddy Swims. Oh, and Alan Stone.
Okay.
You ever heard that?
No, I haven't. I've heard the name Alan Stone before, but I don't think I've ever heard him. Mm.
Well, you need to look that up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Sarah Smile by Teddy Swims and Alan Stone. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely. Those two guys, and that's somebody, Teddy Swims. You ever seen him?
Uh-uh.
He's got a big beard and tattoos and things, gauges in his ears, and I mean, oh, just wow. All kinds of stuff, dude. And you're like, yeah, this guy's, you think he's going to sound like Chris Stapleton, but he's got that really high, smooth voice. It's just total opposite of the way he looks, 100% total opposite. So you need to look him up. Teddy Swims, yeah. Yeah, you need to look him up. There's another song. You need to look this one up right here. Forget the other ones. Look up Teddy Swims. I can't make you love me. Look that up.
Okay.
I can't make you love me. Write that down, man, so you don't get it.
Yeah, but
because you look at him there, and you're like, okay, he's getting ready to this big, rough sounding voice. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
And whenever you watch guys on YouTube have the reactions to it, they're just like, hold on, man, that can't be that guy.
Right.
But you see, he's got a big beard, and he just looks like he'd be a ruffian.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of the guy's name now. When you, oh, yeah. Is that right? When you talked about a guy that doesn't look like what he sings like. Yeah. That was his name. I had to double check his name because I thought it was somebody else. But I remember the first time on TV, it's like I saw Aaron Neville come out, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's like that. Yeah.
Yeah. He came out, you know, he's all jacked and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he sings like so high. know? I mean, he's great. Don't get me wrong. He's great. Yeah. But it was like, that's not what I was expecting, you know?
That's the way Teddy Swims is, man. Yeah. Exactly like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And Alan Stone is just singing. So he's got so much soul. Alan Stone does. It's amazing.
Yeah.
He used to play around town a lot in Nashville.
Yeah.
He was, it seemed like he was always there somewhere.
Yeah. I got confused on his name because I was thinking it was Aaron Neville, but then I was thinking of the Aaron, I can't remember his last name, the guy that's singing Working Man's PhD is who was his picture. And, you know,
that'd be Aaron Tippin.
Tippin. That's it. Tippin. So I was, I had to double check, make sure I had the right name there. So.
Yeah. He kind of Aaron Tippin kind of made a comeback there for a minute, but it wasn't much of one, but.
No.
A few years ago,
yeah,
he kind of made a little comeback.
Yeah,
you see him around a lot too.
I don't know if asked you this question before. What the heck happened to Clint Black? Where's he been?
I'll tell you what happened. He got married to what's her name, dude. He was on top of his game. He was he was hot, man. He had all these kind of rough country songs.
Yeah.
He got married. And I think that was probably the last hit he ever had, man.
He was in that class with Alan Jackson and Garth Brooks and Travis Trent all kind of like came, and Clint Black was like, at one time was like, this might be the guy that's going to like rule the world. You know,
he was it.
And then he just left.
Let me see. What was her name?
I don't even know.
Dude, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not making that up. That's because,
time.
Yeah, killing. Like, see, I used to love Clint Black. See. Let me find out who he's married to.
She just ruined him, huh?
Oh. Lisa Hartman. You see, they got married in 91.
Yeah.
So has he had a hit since 91?
I would think he'd at least have one hit since then, but it could have been from previous recording.
Oh yeah, she cleaned him up because he was a construction worker or something. You know,
Killing Time was 89.
And that gave him some money and got him marketable, and he got married. That was the end of it, dude. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah. He had 22 number one hits.
How many after 91?
I'm going to get the list right here.
I mean, he may have had some, but not. He certainly went a different direction. Yeah. I think he did. He started singing a lot more, and this isn't the right word, but I don't always have the biggest vocabulary. He started singing a lot of romantic songs compared to the rough, rougher songs, hardcore song, country songs.
Yeah.
And once he got cleaned up and started singing love ballads and stuff, it's like, You see anything on there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm scrolling through all this stuff. It's like all these awards that he's won.
Let's see.
He was nominated. And it just said he quit the music business to stay home with his daughter, which I get it.
Oh, they're being nice about it. See, yeah. No, dude, he had, after he got married, see, he got married in 91. Is that what he said?
Yeah, Summer's Coming was 3 weeks at number one in 94. And final number one was Life Gets Away, 94. And then he had that was it, till 94.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, that's what I think happened to him.
Yeah.
She just settled him down, man, or something. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know everything. I just think I do.
Well, I mean, it's a possibility. You know, it's a possibility. She, I could see that happening, but it was always odd. It's not like you know, as far as we know, got sick or anything. Maybe he just got tired of it.
Because he was on a roll, dude. Mm-hmm. And it's just all of a sudden, it just went away.
Yeah.
He was right there with Alan Jackson and Garth Brooks. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Travis Tritt. You know, it's kind of funny. From that whole group, it's like, you know, Garth Brooks is like the freaking rocket ship to the moon, you know, such a big success so fast, but then he went off, you know, because of family things and then came back pretty popular. But Alan Jackson has, you know, been so steady for so many years that he is definitely like, you know, probably Mount Rushmore of country music artists in my book.
Oh, absolutely, man. Alan Jackson.
Yeah.
Alan Jackson is the man.
Yeah.
He's a traditional country. He's never wavered, you know, and every song that he sings is just a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And he has a bluegrass album. That if you've never heard, you should look it up on Spotify or something, whatever, if you don't want to buy it, but it's a, gosh, it is so good. Yeah. It is so good.
Yeah. Well, Ken, let's do this before we shut it down. And for those listening on the podcast, give you guys some homework too. Next week when we get back here, let's go over who is our Mount Rushmore of country music artists.
Oh, that'd be good.
So pick your top four, you know, all time greats and let us know, you know, send us an email at, join us on the porch at gmail.com or send us a direct message on Facebook or Instagram. It'd be on the porch on Facebook, on the porch pod on Instagram. There's links in the description. And, Ken, I'll take a little time and you take a little time and, we'll make our own Mount Rushmore's of country music this week. And, and we'll see, we'll compare and contrast.
Yeah, I've got two right. I've got two right now. I got to figure out that.
I think I got them, but I think I might not. So, and because it'd be interesting because we kind of there's enough age difference between us that we might see things just a little bit differently.
Yeah,
you know. So, but no, guys,
but some, hold on. Uh-huh. We got it. Are we talking about traditional country or are we talking about his bro country? In there with, in the newer country, in there with traditional country. And I'd say, don't necessarily mean newer country, but I mean, Alan Jackson's newer, but he still sings traditional.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to say country music. It's basically a greatest of all time, you know, who you think are the greatest of all time. And there might be somebody currently singing that you might think is the greatest of all time.
Well, there you go, Arnie. You have two of the three that I'm thinking of right now.
It's going to be tough because you got, just for everybody out there, Arnie and Doug listed Johnny Cash, Loretta Lynn, and Hank Williams as three. Well, you know, you have to come up with a fourth, but I could probably come up with more and might bump one of those.
Arnie, which one of you guys likes Loretta Lynn? That's so. Loretta Lynn is so, man, sometime we'll have to talk, dude. Loretta Lynn is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, she really was. She really was.
But, alrighty, guys. So, like I said, you can send us an email or a message on Facebook. And thanks for joining us here on the porch. And Ken, take us home.
All right. I want to thank everybody once again for listening to Todd and Ken on the porch. And we're gone.